Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiend. Triggering you with the most delicious diet of worms the central scrutinizers will allow. We chip every sacred cow and kill every Buddha on the road to rattle the infantilized masses into an... I can't even finish this one. Existential crisis. Infantilized. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sinful atheism out of your head. Is it working? Can you feel it?
Oh, yes. My goodness.
It's working, Michael.
Yes, it's working.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a PIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at PIPCOT.org.
Archie.
Under the board op.
Board
we'll be
up.
Having some fun under the board op.
We'll be out of the
board
sun.
Op is the board operator. The basically the
board op.
Knob. Twiddler, knob,
the
knob master,
whistler.
Knob master. Wait, no. The engineer.
I just refer to him as the voice of God. It's just
the audio engineer. Yeah, who we call him the board op, and we've been singing under the board op.
It's just really fun.
Diana's having some fun.
That's right.
Whoa.
Under the board wop. Board wop. Wait.
Wait a minute. That's racist.
The board wop.
That's racist, y'all. That's racist.
Can you say that on radio?
Yeah.
Listen, I have something I would like to say about.
I got something to say.
You know what grinds my gears?
I wanted to say something about the last show that I did when I was on with Lou and Phil. This was, I don't know, about a week and a half ago. I am currently living in a new location in Colorado.
In your car?
Well, it's close to the size of my car, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, wait. That's she who cannot be named. Go ahead.
All the stroke head to tail.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel kind of bad about something I said about where I live. And I said something about I'm living in the hood now. And that was just mean. And I should not have said that. Actually, I'm living in a pretty nice location. And there could be much worse places.
Allegedly.
Yeah. And I just wanted to apologize to anyone who happened to be listening that lives in the area.
Are you apologizing to the hood or people that live in your neighborhood?
The people that, anybody that could have been listening.
Ooh, get off me,
the
kitty.
People in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Get off me, kitty.
are you worried about worried about retaliation for these comments?
No,
like they're gonna find you and hunt you down.
It just wasn't respectful, is all.
Aww.
Yeah. So
like to whom? I mean, to who?
Just saying it out loud and in my area, and anybody that could have been listening that might live in Arvada.
Nobody in your area is listening. We're not that's not one of the 29 towns. That's
just in case.
No, people have heard of your town. We're in towns no one's heard of. That's not true.
Right.
But
that's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Well, except for Jeremy. Well, Jeremy lives in the oldest. Like
America's first suburb.
Suburb, right.
Suburbs, patient zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not for much longer, hopefully.
Normally I'd say, don't give hints as to where you live, but that cow's kind of out of the barn, man.
Yeah.
of letting people know where to... Yeah.
Even if we hadn't discussed that multiple times beforehand.
Right.
Everybody now knows where... Well, actually, that's not true. Half the people who wrote about me think I live in Pennsylvania because they just...
Good.
Didn't do very good research.
Because it got reblogged there or something in the paper or what?
Well, no. There's a Levittown, Pennsylvania. That people just attached
that's
me
right.
to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, come find me.
Yeah, come stalk him in Pennsylvania. Yep.
Anyway, so now that that's out.
Yeah.
I just felt like saying that. I felt bad about saying it. I just thought it was disrespectful, and so I just wanted to...
I don't care. I think I don't think you need to make this apology to the people in your neighborhood who don't listen to you.
If it makes her feel better, I guess it's
okay, there you
right?
go. There you go. Go ahead. Do it.
I'm done.
Do it up.
I'm done apologizing now.
You apologize to that hood and you do it good.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of cool. I mean, it's funny because now where I'm living in an apartment complex, and where I'm, the apartment complex that I'm living in now, I actually have gotten to know more neighbors in the short time I've been here than I did the whole time I lived in the, where I was living in Colorado Springs.
Wow.
So
I don't know any of my neighbors. I know nobody, nobody in my town.
So yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's not so bad. It's they seem, I wouldn't necessarily say tight knit, but it seems like people actually know each other. And I think that's kind of cool. I don't know.
Yeah. I had something really bizarre happen to me. And something really, I had a really bizarre like hack attempt or scumware or something happened with my phone. So over the past week or so, when I go to make a call, a lot of times I get a message that says, "Your call cannot be completed due to technical errors," or something like that. You know, and it's, and I Googled that phrase, and it's a standard AT&T error, you know, like network error, like you don't have internets. But
is that the weird thing is, then, AT&T?
Well, yeah. Well, I shouldn't probably say that because that's one more piece of information to hack me. But yeah, I've put screenshots on my phone. You can see it's AT&T. But my wife has the same phone and the same carrier, and we're on the same, like, you know, friends and family plan together. And she never has a problem.
As opposed to
my phone. As opposed to what?
I was going to say, as opposed to being on the friends and family plan separately.
Yeah.
It's just the way you said it. It just made me laugh. Sorry.
Well.
Continue.
I don't know. I think actually, qualified it because I think friends and family plan is actually a plan for calling people, not for having the phone service. We have a joint account. We don't have the same number, but we have, you know, like our bill is one bill is basically what it is. So, yeah. Yeah, so the weird thing is, though, like, it isn't just that message. It's that message, and then in that voice, same voice after it, it says, so basically it says, all together, it's, let me find the exact thing. So it's AT&T, okay, it's due to technical difficulties, your phone call cannot be completed, but that's a standard AT&T message. Like, you Google that, tons of things come up with people, like, having network problems. So, but mine, in the same voice, says, due to technical difficulties, your call cannot be completed. But great news, we've got a special free offer if you press 1 today.
Whoa.
And I got that message for several days in a row, and I finally called AT&T and waited online for 20 minutes, and no, like 8 minutes, and then he went away for 5 or 8 minutes and came back and said,
it's not us.
It's never been reported either. Like, it's new. You know, like, I'm patient zero.
A new scam.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, a new scam. And it's got to be either, you know, like some malware, or the only other way I could think this could possibly work is if somebody has like a cell phone spoofer in the neighborhood, you know, cell phone tower spoofer.
Yeah.
Cell phone spoofer in your neighborhood. Yeah.
But I doubt that because, you know, if you were going to try to do this, you know, unless it was someone particularly trying to target me, which I think is unlikely. But, you know, I think that if you were going to do that, first of all, you know, if your idea, I'm assuming if you press 1, I didn't press 1, but I'm assuming if you press 1, you know, it probably, like, calls a number in Puerto Rico that's, like, you know, $20 a minute to call or something like that. So, and that's a scam. They often use Puerto Rico because I think it has an area code, like it's a U.S. number, but it's not one people recognize, and they have like a different, you know, 900 number or something there. So, you know, it's probably something like that. But if you were going to do something like that with an actual spoofer, it would make a lot more sense to do it somewhere that's a lot more populated.
Sure.
I think.
Unless they're just testing it out.
So I deleted every app that I've added in the past week, which was 2 apps. And I'm thinking, it was Bread Wallet, which is a well-known Bitcoin wallet that lots of people use. And it was something called ASCII Camera, A-S-C-I-I Camera, which is a camera program that takes a picture of you and turns it into ASCII art, which is pretty cool, but I don't use it much. Yeah. So, no, don't. It might be the thing that gave me this problem.
Oh, I'm not going to download it now. No, definitely not.
Yeah. I don't know that it's that, but it was very strange. And it hasn't happened since I deleted those things, so I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it seems that those type, like, I mean, it could be connected to that, I don't know. But just in general, those types of scams and stuff, it does, I mean, maybe I'm just paying more attention to them recently, but they do seem to be on the rise because, like, all different types. the ones I've been hearing about a lot, especially, I mean, the IRS ones have become insane. Like, they actually busted some giant company that was doing it, but they're still going on. I got another set of them within the past 2 weeks.
Where giant company, like, they have a boiler room with 50 people sitting in cubicles making these scam calls all day or something?
Yeah, what I think. I get calls all the time from numbers I don't recognize, and sometimes there was one I was getting every single day like clockwork around the same time, and I don't answer phone calls if I don't recognize the number. I don't know who it is. They didn't leave a message, and it turns out that they were some weird collection agency sort of that I know I don't owe anybody anything. It was just, yeah, when I actually looked up the number, there was all this stuff online about people getting calls from the same number and being accused of owing this, like, to companies and stuff like that. And sometimes it was true, like they actually did owe, but most of the time it wasn't true. So, and I don't know, I get calls from numbers I don't recognize all the time, and I just suspect that it's a lot of them are scams. There's one I get, which is often followed up by a text, and they call me Amy.
And it has probably had your number before
And it has to do with student loan forgiveness. No, I've had this number for like 15 years, probably.
Yeah, I know. People always say that to me too, and I'm like, wait a minute, I've had the same cell phone number for like 17 years at this point, so I don't think that's possible.
The landline number we had that we got rid of. But we had a landline number for about the first 5 years we lived here. And
I haven't had it that long, 15 years. I haven't even had a cell phone that
long. I didn't get rid of it because I used to make a lot of calls calling radio stations, and landlines sound a little better than cell phones. And, you know, if you're on the phone many hours a day, it's better to be on a landline. But I just quit calling stations. I don't call stations anymore. We're on a bunch. That's
I've got a beef with what you just said.
What is it?
Oh, no, I was just like imagining you calling into radio stations.
No, I'm calling radio stations.
Never mind.
We're on the radio right now.
Oh, that's right.
And we have a radio show, and you have to call stations to get on them. Man,
okay,
you kids.
Yeah. I know. Sorry.
You kids and your legal marijuana.
I was just imagining you calling like radio shows and complaining about something.
Why would I do that? I have a radio show.
Maybe you had one. I don't know.
I call it a Free Talk Live sometimes, but you know, they're friends.
Right.
Yeah. And they're on a lot
and
more
And you don't
stations,
bust their chops about stuff. Well, no, some you,
no,
you have before.
No.
Haven't you? No.
I have, but no, generally, I like them generally.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends, brought to you by Medical Marijuana.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there's a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
You're not gonna explain it.
Oh my god!
I've actually seen those before.
I have too, but it never gets old.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, that was. I really was trying not to snort. Who's doing that?
Me.
And welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour.
The board
this is
up.
The farm set. This is the farm segment.
Yeah. Hey, we got a new fiend coming on. This is huge news.
Another one?
I'm really excited about this. Yeah. You know, fiends are like hydras. One leaves and four take his place. We got John Vibes starting.
Oh, is he finally going to start? Sweet.
Yep, yep.
All right. Good deal.
Cool, man. Cool.
Oh, no, it's this week. Sorry. It's Wednesday night, Thursday morning with Phil and I. And apparently Lou doing a scene report from the Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest. Oh, when does that start? We should probably stop running the ad.
It starts Thursday. You have a couple more shows to run it for.
All right.
I ran it one last time on the Seeds of Liberty, the show that goes out tomorrow.
Run it tonight. You're editing, right?
Yes, sir.
Cool. So
I will run it tonight. And tomorrow night, because I'm editing tomorrow night, too.
Under the board up. Hey, Bitcoin is no longer my problem. Did I tell you guys about this?
You told me it was going to not be your problem, but I didn't know it became not your problem officially.
There's a new dev. Hey, Jeremy, you're crapping out a little bit. Go down to the lower codec.
Really?
On Fiendphone. Because I raised your, yeah. All right. So anyway, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, tell us all about it, Mike.
Whoa.
I found a new victim. I mean, board op.
dev.
Developer. Dev. To take over. Yeah. And he's a programmer. He's cool. He's got some Bitcoin, and he's going to take Bitcoin. If you want to donate, you can go to the Bitcoin.org site. He runs it now. He owns it. He's hosting it. He has the domain name. He's an admin on the Bitcoin Facebook page. He has the login to the Twitter page. He's got everything. It's all in his lap.
I can't talk to you at all if I have any issues.
Talk to him. I don't know. I don't want to talk to me during the break. I don't want to say on here that I'm going to give friends tech support still on Bitcoin, because I will for you, but no one else. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah, because you just let me team viewer into your computer and take over, and I'd like that a lot more than explaining things to people.
Yeah,
everyone should just let me.
Yeah,
everyone should just let me into
your
computer.
Just
let me into your computer. Yeah, that's on the Fiends. I have to have a backdoor in everyone's computer. That's how it works.
Well, I have. Yeah. I mean, I haven't actually haven't been mining for a little while, and I want to start mining again. So
it's easy again. Yeah.
Well, it's just that I might need some help with my wallet.
Okay.
I haven't even touched my Bitcoin in quite a while. But hey, I hope that the new dev can get it up and start making it valuable. Just don't. Yeah. Phrasing. But
oh, I also want to send you
just
something.
Don't fork it, man.
I'm sending you a something to put in the show notes. It's how to auto-forward important email to your phone as a text message. So there's a few new fiends who they don't check their email very often, is what it comes down to. And, you know, on the fiends, I need to be able to generally get to someone within a day or less. You know, like if I'm like, hey, we need someone tonight, you know. And I don't send out many emails, but Daryl and Shane have set it up so when they get an email from me, it sends them a text message.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we're going to put this in the show notes how to do this. So fiends who don't talk to me, who don't respond very quickly, I'm looking at you, Steve Miller, should add this. Yeah.
See, I think you have it just so ingrained in my head that I need to respond to these emails, because I actually hate emailing, and I usually let emails sit for days. Like, people will write me long emails and ask me questions, and I sit there and look at it for like 2 or 3 days in a row. I'm just like, oh, I do not want to respond to this.
Yeah. But you know, it'll cause you pain if you don't respond to me quickly.
I'm responding to you on my phone as I'm driving. I get an email, I'm like, I'm going to answer this now, because if I put the phone down, I'm going to forget about it, and then I'm going to get a call at some point. Yeah.
Yep.
So, you've got me trained.
Go to my Telegram group.
No.
If you want to communicate.
I don't have one. I mean, it used to be, you know, your boss would buy you a pager, and you'd be like, oh, cool, a pager. But it's more like, oh, a leash, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much.
I'm not your boss, but I am, you know, the fiend cult leader. So, yeah.
Oh, speaking of work, I now have a sweet new setup. And I mean, even though I'm still not enjoying work all that much, I now have a standing workstation.
Oh, how do you like that?
Well, I haven't actually used it yet. I went and got my desk yesterday. I got it from IKEA and got it set up and everything. And I have a little bouncy balance board thingy I can stand on. And
meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah.
Meow.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
I got some worms.
I got worms. I got worms for you.
I've been a real for that.
Yeah.
There's an app for that.
Yeah. So what do you guys think?
Anyway, I just
I don't know if I want an app that gives you worms. That doesn't sound like very good.
No, an app that will remove your worms.
Oh, a dewormer? A deworming app.
Deworming app. Be like ultrasound would scare the worms away. Yeah.
No. We want the worms. So, we like the worms.
I sent you guys something that I'd like to discuss. Yeah. Something I'm proud of.
Okay.
Check your Gmail.
All right. I'm doing that as we speak.
Yes.
But yeah, anyway, I just want to say I really dig my new standing work station, and that's all I really wanted to say about that.
I had one for a while, but it wasn't a commercial one. It was basically just I got a variable height table to go on my table, and I set it at about, a foot and a half, and then just put a big, television-size monitor on it. And I'd stand and use it, and it kind of got maddening to me. I really enjoy a good sit.
Yeah. Well, I also got kind of a groovy stool that I can kind of lean my butt back
on.
Can you say
that on radio?
Doesn't a stool defeat the purpose of the standing workstation?
Well,
you don't want to stand all the time, really.
No.
Yeah. Especially if you're not used to it. Yeah.
I get that.
You can't say that on radio.
I always have to chuckle when I hear people I understand why they have they make them and you go out and buy one. It's like I created my own years ago and I didn't have to spend any money on it, and it always just makes me laugh because I'm like, I've been working at a standing station because I keep my laptop, except when I'm doing shows, obviously. But when I do my work, my laptop is almost always on the coffee island in my kitchen, and that's where I do the majority of my work for
Wait,
my
you
standing.
Have a coffee island? What?
It was here with the house when I bought
You're
it.
So privileged.
First world problems. That's where it sits, and that's where I do the majority of my work from. So I've been standing for years just on my own without having to purchase one.
I know. I was getting so tired of sitting. I just did not have a good setup at all, but now I do. It's pretty awesome. Hopefully it'll be awesome. It'll make work a little more bearable. It's kind of what I'm hoping for. But
Hope so.
Did you guys see what I just sent you?
Yes.
Yes.
Speaking of work.
The cover of the...
This is your magnum opus? Or
it's one of them.
Is it the Freedom Fiends? Yeah.
Well, I sent you guys the cover for A User's Manual for the Human Experience, second edition, which the first edition came out in 2009. So what, mm-hmm. 8 years ago?
Yeah. Yes.
And it was a paperback and an ebook, or no, paperback and a audiobook. There's never been a Kindle mm-hmm. version of it. So I spent the last couple of weeks, maybe an hour a day, just kind of going through it and updating it, making it better, putting comments in. What's that?
I said, so there are changes. Nice.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, not a lot. I'd say it's
5%. It's covered by the bibcot.org.
Yeah. License. And it's,
which the original
I'd
was
say
not.
I'd say it's probably 5% different. Yeah, the first one was covered by Creative Commons because BIPCOT didn't exist back then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, and it's, changed all of the links in it, updated them, got rid of links that don't exist, put a few little, 2009 or 2017 version note update. I was a minarchist when I wrote this part. I am now a full-on voluntarist, to kind of apologize.
Please forgive me for my ignorance.
Yes, basically. But so it's in the process. It's, waiting for it. It's being published by Google right now. I went through all the hoops tonight to set it up on Kindle. And it's, let's see, a few minutes ago it was receiving And now it says publishing, and it says it can take up to 72 hours. But I found that Amazon, like Amazon says that with apps, and then they take like 8 hours. So sure. Hopefully tomorrow I'll tweet and put it on Facebeef when it's up.
Do you know what the Kindle price is?
$3.99.
Sweet.
Yeah. I have to interject real quick. Something weird just happened. I was talking about my standing workstation and I have this
and it really fell.
Cool little I mentioned having
how dare you even suggest that, Michael?
I put that thing together last night with an Allen wrench and a regular screwdriver.
Oh, he's cool. I know that guy. He's my Allen wrench. Yeah.
Anywho, he's a little twisted. I happened to mention my balance board. Right, nutty. I got a balance board to stand on while I'm working.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, so it's there's different kinds. There's some that are sort of they're like wobble boards, balance boards. I don't know. It makes it so it's like
it's good for
you kind of have
core,
to move around. Like yeah, you have to move around while you're standing there.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
But no, what's weird is that I just clicked on the link that Jeremy sent us on Congress submits bill making it illegal to hold cash Bitcoin, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The ad at the top is for the very balance board that I purchased.
Yeah. Well, that's isn't creepy. That that's how things work now. So where'd you buy the balance board?
I actually got it from Amazon, but it's its own company.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, it's all connected now, and it's kind of, you know, you can be on a Linux-only computer that, you know, doesn't use your real name, and you're always through a VPN, and, you know, but then you don't get all the fun that goes along with, like, I'm writing another book. I'm writing a second book. I republished this first one kind of as a... just because people have asked for it forever. I mean, the paperback of that sold like 4,500 copies, and there's a lot of downloads of the audiobook. The audiobook's on, thank you. The audiobook of User's Manual for the Human Experience is on audible.com. And, you know, a lot of people really liked it. Like people a lot of people I don't know really liked that book. And a lot of people came to Liberty to it because it's kind of a self-help / time management book. Mm-hmm. The self-help part is about getting. Basically becoming uncodependent. It's about getting creepy people out of your life and keeping them out of your life without going to prison.
Well, one of the things I took away from it is it kind of takes like 12-step principles and applies it to, you know, like for life for anyone. Like you don't have to be a
to
drug
business,
addict, alcoholic, et cetera, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one of the things I loved about it.
Yep. So it's basically about how to get creepy people out of your life. And then once you're out of your life and you have more free time.
Mosquitoes.
Yeah, you get rid of the soul mosquitoes and and then you can... work more on making a living doing what you love. So that's that book, right? Definitely. And you can, yeah. So the sequel to it is what I'm writing now, and it's called The 4.5 Rules of Life. And like the User's Manual for the Human Experience, it's going to be, you know, basically both of them are self-help time management books with libertarian propaganda hidden in them. Neither of them have the word libertarian anywhere. Mm-hmm. And because everyone's writing their libertarian book now. You know, a bunch of people, mm-hmm. libertarian rock stars and libertarian mini rock stars, are all writing their, like, you know,
wannabe rock stars.
Yeah. You know, Adam Kokesh rehashes Stefan Molyneux and Mises, you know, that book. I mean, Freedom by Adam Kokesh, like that kind of thing. And a lot of these books, first of all, are just, you know, it's just like a sermon about libertarianism, you know, just hitting you over the head with it. And also, there's nothing new in any of them. It's all rehashing stuff that's old. And it's not, they're not very well written, man. None of these people can write. Molyneux can't write. Kokesh can't write. Who's the guy that wrote a book that we were talking about that's silly? He's got three names. Oh, Chase Rachels.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer.
Order.
Jennifer. What's his name? Jennifer Chase Rachels. No. Chase Rachels. Wait, yeah.
I saw somebody give a new nickname tonight that had me on the floor.
What is it?
Chase Rainbows.
Chris will sure chase rainbows. Yeah. Like none of these people can write, and I can write because I've been writing books, you know, tech books for a living for 12, 15 years.
Not through your own horn or anything.
not to my horn, but I can write. Yeah, and I'm actually like, so I got a Chromebook. I actually got two Chromebooks. Like one was $200 with like a 3-year extended warranty, and one was $60 on eBay. And the one I got on eBay is pretty small. It's you know, I don't want to write a whole book on it, but it's fine if I go somewhere and don't want to carry a bunch of stuff because it weighs like 2 pounds. And Chromebooks, I'm in love with Chromebooks. Like, Chromebooks have made me want to write again. I haven't written in 8 years, and I'm writing like about 1,000 to 2,000 words a day, and they're quality writing. Like, I know there's some people that, you know, have a goal, or they're in a club where there's, you know, National Novel Writing Month or whatever it's called, where like people get together and cheer each other on. Like, I don't do that. I don't want to talk to those people. They can't write. And, you know, if you need someone to cheer you on to write your 1,000 words a day, you know, you're not really a writer. Like, writers just write. But I'm churning this thing out. Like, I've been writing a week, and I'm up to, or I've been writing 10 days, and I'm up to 20,000 words, which is like, you know, about a quarter of the length it's going to be, you know.
I'm impressed.
Not saying it'll be done in 8 weeks, but, you know, a draft will be done in 8 weeks. That's the other thing, is a lot of people write but don't know how to edit, which is a large part of writing. I know how to edit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm not a very, I would always need help with that. I've always been told I'm a decent writer, but yeah, I can't edit for anything.
I'm a really good proofreader. I don't know about like editing. I mean, I wouldn't want to necessarily.
I'll keep that in mind when I'm done with this book.
Oh, honey, I'll proofread day long. I actually enjoy it.
Thank you.
So
for free. For buttons?
Sure.
I pay my proofreaders in buttons. Yeah.
I wouldn't have to proofread
the whole thing. What I generally do with a book is have like 8 people each do 2 chapters.
Uh-huh.
That's the way to really do it. And then, you know, you find out who's the really good proofreader, and then you have like, you know, when the second pass through, you have like, you know, the 2 really good people, if they have time, you know, do half the book each. So
yeah, I'm good at finding punctuation and grammatical errors and things like that. I can make suggestions in terms of how a sentence sounds, like how it might sound better, that kind of thing. But I wouldn't say I'm a full on copy editor by any stretch.
Well, a thing that I like proofreaders to do, there's things that I do intentionally that some proofreaders, like I have to tell proofreaders, like, you know, I use incomplete sentences sometimes in a conversational way. Like this.
Well, a lot
like
of
that phrase, like this, was an incomplete sentence. Mm-hmm. And I do that a lot because that's how people talk.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know,
like when I was working for book companies, like I had to argue with editors to get them to let me do that sometimes. But,
well, yeah, I mean, some of the greatest writers write like that. So, you know, they write conversationally. So,
yeah. Yep. But I'm loving the integration of Chromebooks, Google Docs, and Google Drive. It's pretty amazing. It's kind of I mean, I wouldn't run a business on it because, you know, it's
maybe
on other people's servers.
Then.
But you should get a Chromebook. Talk to me after the show. I'll tell you which one I got. It's amazing.
Okay.
I'll just send you the link. We'll put it in the show notes.
Sweet.
Worms.
Meow.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms. So what did you guys do for Father's Day? I sent a card to my dad.
Well, I called my dad, and he didn't answer, and I texted him.
I can't call my dad because he's too deaf to talk to on the phone, really, even with hearing aids and stuff. But I sent him mail, snail mail.
But I did purchase a 23andMe kit for him.
For your dad?
Mm-hmm.
What, to find out if he's really your dad?
The new paternity test.
No, he actually has done Ancestry before, and Ancestry is just not as good as 23andMe. 23andMe, just rocks. Like, I don't know. I've seen what Ancestry's looks like and compared them, and there's no comparison. But I think it'll just be interesting to see what, because, I mean, obviously, I've got DNA from both my parents, and my mother's dead, so I can't.
Really?
Yeah. You knew that. I thought you knew that.
I know. I knew that.
Okay.
Most people do have DNA from both their parents.
Shut up.
You know.
Well, anyway.
There's always that off chance that you don't, but you know.
I was talking. Yeah. I thought you knew that my mother was dead. That's what I was saying. But anyway, so at least I'll know what maybe part, like what I got from where. I'm pretty sure
which
I didn't
part's
get
black?
The, yeah, which part's
where you,
black?
Where you I'm got the black sure girl, the black girl bubble butt from?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not from my dad's side. So, because they just came to this country, a couple of generations ago. So,
yeah. Anyway, that's a good thing. That's not.
And my West African goes way back.
Yeah. Oh, you kids. You kids and your DNAs. When I was your age, the rabbit had to die.
I know that the 24% of me that is Ashkenazi Jew definitely came from my dad's side for sure.
Everybody gets all excited about these things. I'm waiting for the story to come out one day that we find out that these 23andMe results are kind of like those tattoos with the Chinese symbols that everybody gets because they're cool, but they don't actually mean what they think they mean. People are just plugging numbers into a thing and handing, hey, this is what you are.
You know, I mean, sometimes they make,
think it's
sometimes,
interesting.
Sometimes tattoo artists give, you know, really mean tattoos, like, you know, the girl wants to get one that says peace and harmony and they give her one that says white whore or something like that.
Yeah.
But what it is commonly is there's sort of a like phonetic Chinese alphabet where there's the corresponding character sort of to an English letter, like, you know, this equals A, this equals B. And if you want, like, the word peace, the tattoo artist spells it out in the five characters that correspond on his chart on the wall to the, and it doesn't mean anything.
Right,
that's what it
anything.
Says, you know?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Or I've seen it before where there'll be, like, you know, people get those different symbols and stuff. And then, you know, somebody, an actual Chinese person will look at it and go, do you have any idea what
that means white
says?
Whore.
Exactly. That's exactly.
They all say white. They all say white whore,
or white devil. You know, whatever.
Or dumb white. Dumb means, white whore.
This means courage and power. Nope, yeah. It's white whore. Yeah. I think that should be the name of the show. No, I don't know. Freedom Fiends, the white whore. No,
I like that.
Can we say it on radio?
I'm down with
whatever.
That.
I'll answer that.
I think we'll just go with no, that means white whore. I think that's the title.
Yep. You know, in the second hour, we're actually going to have some topics, too. It'll be pretty cool. I'm psyched.
Well, you did ask about Father's Day. I don't care about these holidays in particular. And I actually mowed my
Hallmark
lawn.
Hallmark holiday.
Yeah.
I mowed a lawn.
I mowed my lawn. I went shopping to try to stock up for the upcoming trip to Michigan. My kids weren't even with me most of the day.
You're supposed to teach your 7-year-old children how to mow the lawn for you on Father's Day.
Yeah,
they're not even okay. They're not even
my daughter.
Hey, between them, they're 14, and that's more than enough to mow.
They're not even that old yet. So between them, they're not even 14 yet. They wouldn't be able to.
Hey, 12's old enough to 12's old enough to mow the lawn.
No, nobody
wants them stand on the other shoulder and wear a raincoat and mow the lawn.
Nobody wants to mow my lawn. My ex was over today because she was helping me with them. So I, because you know they're usually here on the weekend, but I needed to get the lawn mowed before I go away this week. Because if I waited till I came back, it would be a nightmare. So she came over, and even she was like, I'd offer to mow your lawn, but I hate your lawnmower because when I bought my lawnmower, I specifically saved $100 by buying the push mower that doesn't that's not self powered. So it's electric, but you still have to push it. So nobody ever wants to mow my lawn.
I have a snowblower
that
would probably
strange.
Work to mow your lawn.
It saved me $100.
I know. I'm just saying, an electric lawnmower that doesn't, it's not self-propelled.
I know.
That's weird. Yeah.
They make them, and I found
one. It's from China. It's the white whore model.
Well, it came from Alibaba.
Worms.
Wait a minute. That's so racist.
Alibaba is
like
know where to begin. 18 times bigger than Amazon or something, isn't it?
Alibaba. Well, a lot of people sell things on Amazon that they bought from Alibaba. So they'll buy bulk of something.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LoPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT license.
Yep.
This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, meow. Yep.
So we are back for the second hour, and let me be the first to say hello, Belfouche.
Belfouche.
Yes, we welcome Belfouche and Sundance. But mostly Belfouche, just because we love saying that name.
You know how it's spelled? You ever looked at
it? I don't think I've ever actually looked it up.
I think it's like Belfouche, almost. B-E-L-L-E, second word, F-O-U-R-C-H-E.
Yes, I would have never got that.
Beautiful fork. Or beautiful.
Sounds French.
Yes, beautiful fork. Like what you don't want happening with Bitcoin coming up soon. You know?
No forking.
Yes. No forking around with Bitcoin. So, you know, we talked about, remember, was that you last week, Jeremy, that read that article with me about the problems that may come up with Bitcoin soon when they fix things August 1st?
Yeah, I think that was Shane and I.
Yeah, so somebody on on Twitter said, Michael Dean sure said a lot wrong in that segment. And I'm like,
what?
You just basically read the article. And I said, oh, and he said, and someone else said, you should go on his show and talk. Or, you know, the guy said somebody should go on his show and correct it. And some woman said, yeah, you should go on. Like, it's I think it was a setup of like somebody wanting to be on the show, because I wrote publicly and said, hey, if I'm wrong, I'm glad to admit it. Send me a note that says what I said wrong, and I'll correct it on the air. No answer. So then a few days later, I wrote to both of them again. I said, okay, I sent you a private message, and I sent him a private message and said, hey, we don't have guests on the show, but if you type up a little statement of exactly what I said wrong, I will happily read it on the show. Mm-hmm. And no answer.
No answer.
I think it's just one of those things of someone wanting to get on the show, you know?
Right.
I mean,
Maybe he just didn't check his email.
Yeah, or maybe he got, you know, I don't know, killed for liking Bitcoin. Maybe he's in, I don't know, Russia, North Korea. No, Russia has Bitcoin, sort of. Yeah. They have a theory because the guy who invented it is Russian, and yeah. Putin likes him.
Yes, yeah. I know.
Putin's jumping on his coattail. Putin's riding him all the way.
Ethereum.
Yes, I've riding seen that guy. I've seen that guy speak a couple of times.
That skinny guy that looks 12. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks 12. He's brilliant, but he looks 12.
Mm-hmm. He's brilliant. Yeah. And yeah.
So the Chromebook that I was talking about in the last one, it's a Lenovo 14-inch IdeaPad Chromebook, the N42-20 model, and it was about $200, and I got the extra, I paid for the extra, three-year warranty, and I got a mouse for it. But other than that, it just out of the box just works. And the thing about Chromebooks is, like, so you sign in with your Google account, and if you sign in on a different Chromebook with the same Google account, all your settings immediately show up. It's really cool. And I like it. I sent it to you guys.
Cool.
I put it on Twitter. I put it on Facebook. Thank you. Yeah, I recommend it. And it's built heavy because it's made for public schools. You know, mm-hmm. it's made for tax-funded, non-funded liabilities.
And it's Lenovo, so it's,
yeah, and it's about 3.2 pounds or something. I think it's not terribly heavy, mm-hmm. and it's really sturdy. Now that Chromebooks only run one program, basically, right?
Right, kind of like a Mac.
Run the Chrome browser, and that's it. And then everything you want to do runs in the Chrome browser.
Oh, gotcha.
You can't put. You know, a couple of them, there's about five of them that are kind of expensive that you can run like some Android apps on, mm-hmm. but not most of them. Most of them you just can run, you know, Google Docs, you can surf the web, you can send Gmail, and there's a handful of sort of like add-on app things, you know, like Thesaurus add-on, and one's really stupid. There's one. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I think this is something that those people who are on that, like, you know, write 1,000 words a day and encourage other people to. What is that, National Novel Writing Month or something.com? I'll bet those people would use this thing. There's a free add-on that adds typewriter sounds when you type on your keyboard.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel kind of dumb for saying that.
I would use that.
For saying what?
For saying it's like a Mac.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I was just thinking that, like, because it's, I don't know, because
Macs run a lot of things. They just don't play well with others.
They run a lot of things, yeah.
That's beautiful people use Macs.
So.
Who knows?
I have a Mac, and I pretty much don't use it. I mean, I use it, but I use it basically for surfing the web, and that's it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You cannot mine Bitcoin on a Chromebook. You can't. They're not very memory intensive. Like, you know, the one I have is 4 megs of RAM. It's got like 16 gigs of hard drive, and the cool thing about it is they're solid state. They don't have a fan. They make no noise. There's mm-hmm. no moving parts other than the keys, and they barely get warm. I mean, they get like body temperature. It's kind of calming, you know. They never get hot. They just get slightly warm, like a friend, like a kitty.
That's weird because my Mac gets really hot.
Well, yeah, because it's smart and has a big inefficient processor that does a lot. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. I feel like it doesn't do very much. I don't really like it anymore.
Put it this way. When I went to do all the output and like graphics and cover and things for my Kindle book, I did it on my PC that has 16 gigs of RAM. I did not do it on the Chromebook, but I'm writing on the Chromebook and editing on the Chromebook, which is...
Right.
Yeah, it's fun.
When you have large programs that use a lot of resources, you would not want to use a Chromebook.
Right. Yeah. It's also really cool in that it boots up and down faster than any computer I've ever seen. Like if you haven't used it in 24 hours and you open it up, in 10 seconds you're ready to type in your document. And it opens to the last document you're in, and it shuts down in like it shuts down in 4 seconds. That's faster than your phone, did you say?
Yeah.
It's faster than my phone. Yeah. My phone You know, if it's if I used it like 5 minutes ago, it jumps back in about 5 or 8 seconds. But if it's been hours, it's deep in sleep, and it takes like, 30 or 40 seconds before I can make a phone call. Or not, I can make a phone call on it, but to do anything else takes like 30 or 40 seconds. So, yeah, what a time to be alive. When I was a kid, computers took up whole rooms and cost millions of dollars and had less memory than this Chromebook that cost $200.
Or your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't really write on a phone. Phones are.
That's true.
Yeah. What they call them in Boondocks? I can't say that. They called them N-word technology. Yeah.
What?
And it was a. Yeah. And they said N-word technology is any technology that you can't hook up to a printer because N-words have nothing to print. Yeah. Boy, we just got kicked off a station. Nah.
So with our listener base, possibly
talking
not.
About hey, the cartoon I'm, Boondocks,
I'm
a, right?
And talking about a cartoon that's written by a black person and voiced by black people entirely. Yeah.
Right, and you're part black, so.
I'm part black, so.
Yeah. Both y'all are, so you know.
That's true.
Are you two? How much are you?
No, you two.
Well.
Yeah.
I know her. The
I'm
girl.
Point. I'm
the girl.
Point
the girl. Like
0.5.
I'm a half a percent.
Huh. 0.5. Yeah. Isn't that like within the margin of error?
I'm not sure. You mean like whether I'm actually black or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that if you asked someone from the KKK, it probably would be. I don't know. Even a little
bit. Yeah, but
what's even worse is the 25% Jewish I am, probably.
I know. But there was somebody that was, I forget who it was. I saw some documentary. Oh, it was about that guy that tried to take over a town in North Dakota. What was that called, Jeremy? Did you do that show with me?
Oh, I might have. Yeah. I know the way you're talking
guy
about.
Who, tried to build a white paradise in this white town that has 24 people in North Dakota, and like they ran him out of town because he was, you know, like bringing in thousands of counter protesters were coming in, and like it just, you know, put their town on a map in a way they didn't want. Some people left town; he'd been there for generations, and and at the end, he was on some talk show, and they tested his DNA and then had him come back, and he was like, I don't know, 8 or 10% black, and he said, "Oh, the test is wrong."
Of course.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it has to be.
Because it was white man technology. Gotta be wrong, right?
Yeah.
Oh boy, what am I saying here? All right, so we got some stories, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Under the board up. So there's a ramming in UK.
Yeah, Ramadan, saw that. Oh my
Ramadan.
Gosh. Yeah.
A ramming.
During Ramadan. Ramming on Ramadan. During Ramadan.
Yeah.
Ramadan ramming.
That's a joke. She's over at his house every day. She's with Dan. She's ramming Dan. It's Ramadan every day at his house. But he's no Muslim, I'll tell you that. What's that from? Do you know? It's from Peep Show. Really cool
Peep
TV show you should check out.
Oh my gosh, that show is so funny. I love it.
I don't know what
you
that is.
You can't say that on radio. Yeah, well, you should. It's a really, really good TV show.
Speaking of funny shows, there's another show that I had never seen or ever even heard of called Bored to Death. It was on HBO. It had like three seasons. Had Ted Danson and Jason Schwartzman and Zach Galifianakis.
Oh. Wow.
Yep.
I remember that. Really I never good. Watched it, though.
Really good. It's on Amazon Prime.
There's another show that Ted Danson was on that I liked, where he played some crazy millionaire. Was that show?
I think it is, and his character is my favorite on that show by far. He's so good.
You know what I've been watching, rewatching?
He was all downhill after Cheers.
Yeah, he wasn't.
No,
he does some good stuff.
He still does some stuff. Yeah,
and he's funny on the CSI now that he's like the Grisham.
Oh, that's right.
CSI.
I forgot that
he's on CSI now.
He took over for
CSI
for,
he was replaced by Neo, or not Neo, Morpheus. What's the guy that played Morpheus?
Oh, yeah, Fishburne.
Yeah,
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, Fishburne.
Yeah.
You know, Lawrence Fishburne was in Apocalypse Now when he was like 15?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of the soldiers in that. So what I've been rewatching that's really, I'm digging it, is Arrested Development. I watched it all like 5 years ago, and I'm, you know, forgot all the jokes.
Well,
I can
there's
watch
a new season. I think there's a new season coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
They've been talking about bringing that back.
Yeah.
That's why Netflix is feeding it to me, meow. When we get back, friends talking on a phone call, and you get to listen. That's us. That's the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Wake up and smell the freedom.
One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Okay, so now my cat's looking at me. Well, now my dog's looking at me too. Why are you meowing?
Stop it. Stop it right now.
So we briefly mentioned in the last segment an article about that just happened actually yesterday. Or earlier today, yesterday, depending on where you are, that there was a van that rammed into worshippers leaving a London mosque, killing at least one. Yeah. And Michael, I'm not sure you're aware, yeah, but it looks like that article was updated since you sent it out. Like someone was
which
actually,
article?
The article.
Someone died. Yeah.
Someone did die. Yeah.
Dan got rammed.
Yeah, during Ramadan.
Too soon.
Too soon, maybe. Police said one man was pronounced dead at the scene and that the van driver, who they don't give the name, but that his age, 48, had been detained by members of the public before being arrested. Then that the driver...
Don't try this at home.
The driver would undergo a mental health assessment in due course, police said.
Wow.
If what you're about to do is illegal, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
That's right. Yeah. Move someplace where it's perfectly acceptable to run people over as they're out on their way out of
right.
The
so,
religious
yeah,
services.
I mean,
you should never do the thing I'm talking about.
may result in state beatings and or incarceration.
Yeah, more than likely, or mental health assessments in due course.
You know what I think? Well, people never think about this. First of all, they're never going to be able to stop this. Like, you know,
no,
England has banned guns. They've banned steak knives. You know, I think what did my wife say? Like, they've actually, like, unless you're a, you know, registered cook at a, you know, a cook with a degree, a chef, mm-hmm. you know, okay. You can't have knives over, even in your home, like big knives. My wife's joke was, yeah, I think they send the National Health over to chew it for you and drop it into your mouth like a baby bird. But, they can't stop vehicles, man. The terrorists figured it out. And it's like, too, a lot of immigrants, too, end up getting jobs like driving delivery trucks, too. So they don't even have to buy a truck or they could steal one. But you know what I think they need to do? I think they should treat this like guns and require a test and a license to drive a vehicle. Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah, I don't know that he was... I mean, it doesn't really say what, you know, if he was actually, if it was a delivery van or whatever. I mean, it may have been a rental van or something like that. And he's a white dude.
Well, that's the thing, like, because, I mean, they're talking about it, you know, they're talking about it possibly being a terrorist thing. Well, that doesn't make any sense because it runs counter to all the other stories because this was at a mosque. So it was somebody
who's counter-terrorism.
So it was somebody who's obviously agitated with
it was
the
some
Muslim
fish
population.
And chip eating limey who's like, I'm going to take care of this. I'll show them.
I'll show them Muslims.
Thinking, I was boss. Also, but, you know, before I found out it was a white guy, I thought maybe it was a Muslim. You know, because there's different Muslim sects that
right,
hate each other. And there's also, I was also thinking, because this wasn't this a mosque that some terrorist used to go to who was arrested? And when that happens, mosques always, you know, issue loud statements that they denounce violence. So maybe someone didn't want them denouncing violence and did it to punish them for that.
How
who knows?
Dare you denounce violence? I shall bring violence upon you.
I know. Well, that's biblical. It's eye for an eye. It's Old Testament.
Right.
That's
this is true.
All of
and that's and that, well, that's the way most people think too.
And right? Muslims read the Old Testament. It's one of their books.
Yeah. But most people think along those lines anyway. I mean, most people are like think along the lines of revenge.
Well, sure.
I'm kind of sick of like. Here's something I'm sick about Free Talk Live about is every time Muslims do something horrible, they make a bunch of statements of Muslims are wonderful. Let's call our friend Davi Barker and put him on here, and let's call Will and get him on here, and you know, like, that doesn't have anything to do with any of the Muslims of the world. I'm not saying anything bad about Muslims. I'm just sick of every talk radio show either being absolutely condemning all Muslims are terrorists, we have to stop them from flowing, you know, or all Muslims are wonderful and this isn't true Islam and what they preach isn't true Islam. I just want to joke about this. That's all. I just want to treat this like I would treat, you know, American politicians punching each other or something.
Yeah.
Is it too soon?
No, I don't know.
It's pocket alibi. It's kind too
of
soon?
Like, it's kind of tragic that someone was killed. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I saw that I don't think a lot of people noticed was, you know, was the headline of this happening, and below that, the next headline said, you know, U.S. bombs Syrian troops or something that. Like, yeah. As if there's no connection.
Right.
Somehow. Not at all.
In some way.
Nothing to see here. Please move along.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
Burf, burf. That's what Phil says. Burf.
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 Burf. Burf. Burf.
That kind of sounds more like what a dog says than bark. They say burf. True. Burf.
Well, yeah, and I guess it depends on the dog too. And in different languages, like depending on the language, they say different things besides bark too.
Meow in French is M-A-I-O-U.
Yeah. Meow.
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 I'm going to say different languages. You talk about like French poodles and stuff. You know, they speak different languages. French bulldogs, which, by the way, are some of my favorite dogs. Those things are awesome.
Oh, they're so cute. Oh, my gosh.
There's so much. Most of them are crazy, but they're so. Have you ever seen, you ever play with a French bulldog, Michael?
No.
They're wonderful little dogs. They're kind of like pugs, but they have those like really big ears that point straight up in the air.
Yeah.
And they're like little, you know, they usually are, they're barrel chested.
Looking them up.
For a tiny dog, they're usually pretty barrel chested.
Oh, man.
They're
this was called something else.
All the ones that I've taken care of are pretty nutty. They're sweet, but they're a little nutty, but they're such fun dogs. I love those things.
Yeah, they're really
cute. Yeah, this one's hung like a horse when I'm looking at for a little dog.
Proportionally, they're like the barnacle of the dog world.
Do either one of you guys frequent Quora, that website where people ask
questions? I don't know
questions?
What that is.
They never have the right answer.
So some of the questions are so weird. There was one the other day. The person asked a question: when I'm petting my dog's belly, is it okay if I touch his privates?
Is it okay? No, it's against the law, and you should never do that.
It's okay if you bump them, but I wouldn't really linger.
Well, actually, I would say it's only okay if you finish the job.
Wow.
Because otherwise, it's just mean.
Wow.
Gross. Jeremy.
Can you say that on radio? I'm rushing for my pocket alibi. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Never
this
mind.
This is just a joke.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Hey, what's the dog in Men in Black? The one that's
he's a pug.
Alien?
That's Frank. He's
not
a pug.
Not a French bulldog?
No, he's a pug.
Frank. Okay.
I believe that's what
yeah.
his name
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a pug. Yeah.
You know, when you look at Belfouche, North, Belfouche, South Dakota, on Wikipedia, the top picture is like a biker bar and a no-tell motel. That's funny.
I love the town even more.
I know. Yeah.
I didn't know it was like possible.
Libertarian paradise, yeah. And the Dakotas have pretty good, you know, as gun laws go, they're pretty, they're kind of like Wyoming, except you need a permit to carry.
Wait, are those two things next to each other?
Yeah.
Because that would definitely be. The bar
Wyoming
and the
South
hotel.
Dakota?
No, no, the
oh,
bar,
yeah,
the
oh,
bar and the hotel.
Building. They're in the same building.
Oh, that's even better.
South Dakota and Wyoming.
No.
Yeah.
Geography, how does it work?
Well, for those who don't work, South Dakota, the upper right corner of Wyoming, the northeast corner of Wyoming, touches the bottom left corner of South Dakota, the southwest corner of South Dakota, and the Black Hills go through those parts of those states.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But the North Dakota is obviously right above South Dakota. But the Dakotas are actually part of the Midwest, whereas Wyoming is the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. It's I think of them as so similar, you know, people wise and climate wise and terrain wise.
Well, there's always overlap. With yeah. how, you know, with geography
yeah.
and people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
People don't really. You know, people and geography don't respect state borders.
Yeah,
I heard it. Go ahead.
I was gonna say the southern part of Ohio and like the southern western part of Pennsylvania are kind of the same thing. They just kind of all blend together.
Well, and then those parts of Pennsylvania and Ohio, the people that you talk to, they like have a southern accent and stuff. Like they, I mean, it's because I think those parts border Kentucky. And so, yeah, I mean, I've met people from those areas of Ohio and Pennsylvania, and they definitely have a southern accent of sorts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I heard the best definition of a border I've ever heard the other day. I think I've heard this before, but I heard it again on Free Talk Live, and it really rang true with me. A national border is where two warring tribes decided to stop killing each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
that's
good.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard that before. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were going to at some point talk about this Coinbase, Ross Ulbricht. Ugh. Legal defense fund.
First, explain who
frozen.
Ross Ulbricht is and what
Ross
so
Ulbricht
great is.
Was.
Ulbricht. It's not Ulbricht. There's no Ulbricht. T, is there?
There is a T. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ulbricht. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
And so he's allegedly the founder of Silk Road. No.
I don't think we have to say that anymore. Yeah. I think he did admit that part in court.
Yeah. But yeah, so he's basically been.
That's true. Hang on, that's funny because I heard the other day, like, you know, someone on Free Talk Live also saying like, yeah, who allegedly ran the Silk Road, which is what everyone was practicing saying during the trial. But mm-hmm. I think he's been convicted, and I think he's admitted to that he ran.
Yeah, part
it.
Of yeah. his part yeah. of his part of
he
it, yeah,
ran
no,
a website.
Part of,
yeah.
part of his defense was that he was admitting to running it, but he didn't have control of all the stuff, and he didn't do it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So not allegedly, like definitely. And he's been in prison for life for running
three
a
life
website.
Terms. Two and a half, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some crazy thing like that. Yeah.
I mean, he's still, you know, in like in his appeal process and everything. And so he has his legal defense funds a great deal of it is in Bitcoin. And a lot of it was stored in Coinbase. On a Coinbase account, and Coinbase a couple of days ago actually froze his account.
People don't keep your money on an exchange. We have a friend that lost 83 Bitcoin recently because it's a lot easier to get it stolen on an exchange than if you have it.
I would imagine, especially
on a secure wallet at home. I mean, if you're taking donations of that amount too, you should be emptying it out every 3 or 4 days probably.
That was one thing that I had a hard time understanding.
I empty out my PayPal when I get $100 in it because PayPal sometimes freezes accounts.
Oh yeah, I do. I'm the same way. But I think I don't know. It seems more likely that at least the way I read that was that all that Bitcoin had just like really recently. they come in.
Oh yeah, it seemed like he had just received a payment of 16.5.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It seems like how much?
16.5.
Yeah, 16.5 Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. So like $40,000 something dollars at the current value. But I think it seems more likely that they had it there because they're using trying to get, you know, turn it into cash as quickly as possible for the defense.
Well, according to what Coinbase explained, or what they claimed, is that it was an auto security response to possible link to previous compromised account, which has never happened before. And that's something that was actually tweeted by the Free Ross Twitter
account. Site, first of all, we didn't really explain what the Silk Road is. So the Silk Road was a decentralized drug marketplace. It was, nickname was the eBay of drugs, and it was a place that drug dealers and drug buyers would get together and lovingly trade their wares for Bitcoin some years ago. And it was fairly anonymous until it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And the FBI caught some people involved in it. One of them turned on the other one for immunity. And that other guy's a snitch and should go to hell. But, Ross Ulbricht is a hero. And he's a... We're friends with his mother, Lynn Ulbricht. She's been on this show 3 times.
Yeah.
And
amazing,
we like her
woman.
A lot.
Yeah.
She's an amazing woman. And, you know, the things that the government puts people through for participating in honest commerce, you know.
Right.
If you disagree with drugs, you have to realize drugs are never going to go away.
They're never going to go away. Yeah. And it was definitely... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
The war on drugs does far more harm than drugs ever do.
Yeah.
You know, people get killed all the time by police for having drugs. The reason there's violence in drugs, you know, police always say, we have to stop this because there's violence. There's violence because there's police. If drugs were legal, there wouldn't be violence because it would be treated like legal marijuana is right now in Colorado, where you go into a store and buy it and there's not violence. And where you go, you know, you don't see a Miller Lite truck and a Coors truck shooting it out in the street. You know, it's things being illegal that cause the violence. So the government does what they usually do, which is create something horrible and blame it on somebody else. And Ross Ulbricht was bringing safety to drug exchanges and reducing violence.
Right.
Because he figured out a way to have a rating system to where, you know, if you ordered the drugs, you could be pretty sure you received the drugs in the mail or UPS or FedEx or China Post or whatever they were using, different things they're using. And,
or in a dead
you know, the mail, would you dead drop? Yeah. Tap 3 times on the stall. Wait, no, that's something else. Yeah. So he was a hero. And we have a lot of respect for him. And he got railroaded. I mean, he got more, you know, not only life without parole, he got 2 or 2.5 life, you know, like more, like basically, you know, I was wondering, like, the government, like, you die and then your corpse has to stay in jail for 100 years, or how's that work? But
it's
you know, they
disgusting.
Gave him, I mean, you could go out and murder a bunch of children and probably get less jail time than he got
absolutely.
For helping people.
Oh, yeah.
And don't try that at home. Don't kill children. It's bad. You know, he got
unless they're really annoying, you know, then you might get a pass.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Is that going to come up in a court recording?
Probably.
In a courtroom soon?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Anyway.
So. Well,
so he's
a
good guy. The government railroaded him. The government ruined him. They ruined his mother. She had a heart attack over all of this. She's still out, like, giving interviews and, you know, helping run the website. And you know who's the admin of freeross.org? Is Derek Slopey, who made Fiendphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
And
love me some Derek.
Yep, Derek's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. Yeah.
But yeah, and so well, the account has since been unfrozen. But there's also some other interesting kind of little side things with this whole thing. Yeah, the fact that they had also just recently hired one of the prosecutors in the Silk Road case, but the prosecutor actually didn't have anything to do with convicting Ross.
Coinbase hired
the
prosecutor?
No. Let me get
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, hired the for whatever reason to I guess maybe to be on the board or something like that.
Security consultant.
But, well, yeah, because they're dealing with the IRS a lot. The IRS,
right?
Oh, the compliance officer.
Yes.
Yeah. So this was a. This was the prosecutor that actually got the conviction of the agents that stole the Bitcoin, Bitcoin from Albert.
Good.
Yeah.
Bridges,
yeah,
whatever his name was, Roden Bridges, or something like that.
Roden Bridges.
Yeah. Powers and, or, yeah,
it was Force. Force and Bridges.
Force and Bridges.
Oh, yeah,
Powers,
yeah, those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, yeah.
Right.
Force.
Horrible people.
Yeah. Worms. Meow. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We got a contest. We got a contest here. We're going to start doing this regularly, so...
What?
Contest? I like contest. Oh, wait a minute. That means I can't participate. Darn it.
Right. And you actually have the thing that's the prize, too. So,
So...
We're going to have a contest.
I'm having two of them. I don't even know what it is.
To win a... Well, I don't think you'd really be able to use two of them. You don't know what it is, huh? I'm just going to make you guess.
Oh, my gosh. The suspense is killing me.
Yeah.
Is it a flag of some sort?
No. It's a 65-day free account on Bola VPN.
Oh, nice.
Bola has offered us that.
Oh, that's
I'm
nice.
Asking if they can do that, like, you know, four times a year, but, you know, to different people. So well,
thank you for your
what
service,
should someone
Bola.
Have to do to win? I think someone should have to... let's see, write a review on iTunes of why you like the Freedom Fiends and send it to us. Send me an email at bipcoin, bravo India Papa coin, at gmail.com.
What are we going for? And funniest one? Best one?
Yeah.
What's the criteria?
Best one. Most butt-licky one. No. just the one that we like the best. Yeah,
okay.
It might not be necessarily be
the one that we like the best, or the one that you like the best.
Me.
Well, when he says we all know
it's
he's
mouse
the royal we.
It's a me. Mouse pocket.
Well, you know, put it this way: if there's a bunch of them, I'll have you guys help me pick them out. You two, how about that?
Oh, sweet, thanks.
Because you're my favorite fiends right now. You have the highest fiend points right now.
Because we're on the show.
Because you're on the show and we didn't really have any, and there weren't any major problems and I didn't have to scream at anybody. So you're currently my favorite fiends. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right, then. Okay, so back to...
I got something really, really funny to tell. So
okay.
I had to look up on Amazon to see where, some information about... the paperback of my book, A User's Manual for the Human Experience, so I could copy and paste it into the submission for the Kindle version of it. And there's actually, for some reason, there's two listings for it on Amazon, but, one is the one with all the reviews, and the other is like, I don't know, mass market paperback for $50 for some reason. That's not something I did. But the third choice, when you search A User's Manual for the Human Experience, is a book called... A Construction Manual for Robots' Ethical System. Let me start again. A Construction Manual for Robots' Ethical Systems, Requirements, Methods, Implementations, and Cognitive Technologies by Robert Tropley. So basically, that's a book on how to put a human experience into your robot you're building.
Nice.
It's a user's guide for that. Isn't that weird that Amazon's smart enough to know... that's what that book's about. That's so weird, man.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I heard that and I was like, oh, that's perfect because that goes along with yours. For the people who are too lazy to use your book to do anything about their own lives, they'll just build a robot.
Yeah, yeah.
Make an ethical robot.
Make an ethical.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to turn you guys into my ethical robots. Is it working? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know. I'm working on that myself. Just my own.
I'm becoming an ethical robot.
Self work.
How about if the show title is White Whore, the Ethical Robot? Didn't we do an episode reading an article about what people think their Chinese characters say and what they really say?
I have no idea.
I don't remember one like that.
Yeah, maybe it was someone else, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
White whore. Why you shouldn't get Chinese script tattoos if you can't read them. Yeah. Let's see.
What was the one thing we were saying during the break? Oh, because we were talking in the last segment, before I forget again, about the Silk Road and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But just to remind people, it wasn't just about drugs and the things that right. took over after they took the Silk Road down. It's not just about drugs. You can get lots of things on there. It's just...
Well, you could also get, like, Viagra on there, too.
Well, yeah. Well,
hey, so here's... Real quick, I'm going to read some Chinese... what these tattoos actually say. One says, destroy them, total, let deity organize them. This one says place dog.
Kill them all. Like this one says.
This one says serious error, gross mistake. And this one says free, like no charge. You know, like not freedom. They probably meant freedom, but it means like I don't. This white whore doesn't cost money. I think. Bad looking, shame, ugly, unclean. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And this person thought there said fast and furious, but it says fast and foolish.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's what you get for trying to be a hipster.
Yep. Worms.
What?